Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's answer some Hey Joe questions.
Joe cracked the dawn,
All right, first question comes from Jeff. Hey Joe, what's your take on the basketball size controversy from last night?
Honestly, I didn't even know this was a thing. And I think most people didn't realize this was a thing until Duke lost last night and Kara Lawson, Duke's basketball coach, decided to just out of nowhere bring up the fact that in their loss to Florida State on Sunday, she alleges they were using a men's regulation size ball versus a women's regulation size ball.
You realized it was a men's ball. And we had played the first half with a men's ball. We then alerted the table that we needed to change the ball. And the table would not change the ball, but then we alerted the head official to come and look at it. He came and looked at it, and he changed the ball. We then played the second half with a women's ball. It's been very frustrating that at this level of basketball, that a mistake like that happens, that could have impacted the outcome of the game. Let me be clear, Florida State beat us. They beat us playing with a men's ball in the first half and a women's ball in the second half. But I can't say if we'd have played with a women's ball in the first half and the second half that we would have won. But they can't say that either. It's very frustrating that a game that has so many conference implications, selection and seeding implications.
So that's Kara Lawson last night, but she's referencing something that happened on Sunday that none of us knew about until she referenced it. And then at 10:30 this morning, I get an email, just like everybody else on the email listserv from the ACC, statement on the Duke-Florida State women's basketball game. I'm not kidding you when I tell you that I thought this was something that had been hung up in my spam. Like, what? And it reads, upon completion of the game, the conference office was made aware of the allegation and immediately conducted a comprehensive review. This included discussion with all parties involved, including game officials, game administrators, table crew, and both schools. Following the thorough and objective review process, there was no evidence found to support the claim. End quote.
This feels like a crazy pills situation.
Yes.
And I'm not trying.
You okay there?
No.
All right. Well, let's do a little throat clearing break here. It's radio. Live radio, folks. Can't edit this out.
I'm not trying to dismiss her concerns.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
do seem a little unusual given that Florida State would have had to play with the same
ball. She said that.
In the first half. But I do find it unusual that it's 2020. Three, and if it happened, I can't imagine there's like this giant cover up in Tallahassee that if the league office called and said, hey, was there a different ball used in the first half than the second half, that they couldn't discern this.
Yeah.
I also would, I mean, we just need to just Zapruder this thing. Because all you got to do is look at the ball. There's probably a different mark on the men's ball than there is on the women's ball.
Right.
And it's probably a hold, as I understand it, you have a rack of balls and you bring out the rack before the game. I refuse to believe basketball players who are used to using one type of ball.
Thank you.
Wouldn't immediately be at the tip and go, and even the referees wouldn't go, oh, wait, this is the wrong ball.
This is the wrong ball.
I don't understand, but when you listen to the conviction in her voice.
Oh, she believes it.
She certainly believes it.
So here's my point. I'm glad you brought up that basketball players know.
Of course they do.
They know which rims are soft and which rims aren't. They know. They have preferences as to which basketballs they use. Shout out to Brett Strelo.
I was going
to
say, in Florida State's a Nike school, they almost certainly use a Nike ball.
Yeah.
Just as Duke uses a Nike ball.
Well, my point is, like, our old colleague, Brett Strelo, always had, like, a basketball tracker.
Yes.
Like, oh, this player actually shoots X when he's using a Spalding versus a Nike ball. ball, those types of things. So players, no.
Marcus Paige with the Wilson ball, yes.
Yeah, I totally forgot about the Wilson ball. Wilson! Anyway, so what you're telling me is that only Duke noticed this.
That's the part that doesn't make any
sense. And Florida State didn't. So let's take it further. Are you alleging, and I have no problems bringing it forward because with the conviction in her voice and she talks about, well, they had to play with the same ball too. So are you insinuating that Florida State practiced with a men's ball thinking they were going to get over on you?
Thank you for listening to the Best of the Drive podcast. I'm Tim Donnelly here with Coach Pete DeRuda, America's wealth coach and best-selling author. Coach, one of the big questions I always hear is, do I have enough money to retire?
Well, maybe, maybe not. The most important thing is you have lifetime income you can never outlive. We'll design that plan for the next 10 people who call. No cost or obligation. Put yourself in control of retirement.
Call 800-691-3215. You can also text Tim to 600-700. That's T-I-M to 600-700. You'll hear from Coach Pete and the Capital Financial Advisory Group.
Is that what the insinuation
is? And to be clear, just in case you're not keeping up with the women's standings, Duke is 9-2 in the league after the loss. Notre Dame's 9-2 in the league. Florida State's 9-3. Carolina's 8-3.
Yeah, no. So ACC basketball is wild right
now. It is bunched up at the top of the league. So to her point, you know, it's going to be a fight in Greensboro to get to the right seed and be in the right spot and all that. So those. I'm not questioning her concerns on that front.
Mm-hmm.
What I don't like here is there was a real problem during the pandemic at the NCAA women's tournament. It was clear the women were being treated as second-class citizens.
Yes.
And by her saying, oh, this would never happen in a men's game, using the wrong ball, well, yes, everyone would be like, it's not the right ball.
And the game would stop. The game would literally stop.
That's the part of it. I don't like that because you're diminishing other arguments when you bring in straw men like this to be like, well, see, this is just like the time at the NCAA tournament where we didn't have a real workout room. No, it's different.
So two other points before we move on. Clearly the ACC shut it down.
Yes.
And they only put, I'm convinced they only put that statement out there because she got the answer she did not want last night.
Sure.
So she brought it up on her own to make it a thing. So the ACC said, fine, if you're going to put us in that situation, we're just going to hammer it down and say, this did not happen. So somebody's calling somebody else a liar here.
Well, they're calling each other liars,
and
is what they're doing.
And I don't think the story's over. The other thing that I would point out is that I have not seen any statements from Duke. Okay. I haven't seen anything from Nina King, AD at Duke, backing up or saying we support care or whatever it is. Think about that, because the last time there was an accusation involving Duke athletics, or at least the women's side of things, they came out real full force on that. Even if they did not find evidence to support the claims, the school still backed the people
totally
up.
Different.
I have not seen this here.
Right.
Well,
not in your, what you're making the point about support.
Support.
I'm saying the severity of the
incident. I'm not trying to equate the two. I'm simply talking about a level of support that your head coach is saying straight up, they made a mistake and they used the wrong ball and that affected us. And I haven't seen a single statement from Duke. I find that interesting. Next up.
Lean back. This one comes from Taz. Hey, Joe. Coach K in attendance tomorrow evening?
No. I guess the question is, when does Coach K watch the game? Does he watch it live, or does he watch film of it after the fact when maybe they go over some notes with John Shire?
One thing I'm fascinated by, all right? We remember our losses more than we remember our wins.
Of course.
This is how humans are trained.
Of course.
Okay? And I'm listening to a promo on the way to work today, and it was Keyshawn Johnson talking about losing in the 1998 AFC Championship game when he was playing with the Jets, right? You'll note that at the end of, 2 years later or 3 years later, he won the Super Bowl with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But this is not the story that he chooses to relay.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Krzyzewski is the ultimate competitor. And understand that the whole succession plan was put in place because of all of the other transitions from legends that didn't work. So this was Mike Krzyzewski's way in tabbing John Shire and having the farewell tour last year of trying to be better and competing with a John Wooden, competing with a Dean Smith, competing with Roy Williams and his own mentor, Bobby Knight. Okay? So I can't imagine. I refuse to believe, Joe, that in quiet moments this year, this summer, whenever he was with the dog, is the dog Nike or Victory or
Blue?
Whenever he's training that dog, there isn't, I can't believe Mark Williams didn't block that shot.
Right.
I can't believe there isn't, why didn't Paolo score in the final 7 minutes of that game? I can't believe there isn't a replay in his own head of those two losses. I adamantly refuse to believe there isn't. So I would put money that this game will be watched in the lair with the retina scan. And he'll go up there. It's a safe place for him that he enjoys. Watch the game. And if they win, I don't remember if Mike is the drinking type, but I'd say he probably have a celebratory.
He's a wine guy.
Well, yeah, a nice glass of wine.
He's a wine guy.
With John.
Of course.
With John, because
they'll
again, because remember,
that's what it was about.
Again, the succession plan was about having the better dynasty after than anyone else in the history of sports.
It's the long game with Coach K. We'll give you a quick update. We'll look at some early Super Bowl wagers next.
Are you struggling to get a good night's sleep? Look no further than Parkway Sleep. For 20 years, we have been your locally owned and operated sleep center.
I'm Brandon Gigling, president of Parkway Sleep Health Centers. Did you know that people are waiting a staggering 6 to 8 months for a sleep study at other sleep labs? At Parkway, we understand the importance of your sleep needs. That's why we offer openings within weeks, not months, saving you time.
Don't let sleepless nights take over your life. Visit us today at parkwaysleep.com. Parkway Sleep Health Centers. Sound sleep, sound health.
Did you know that your unused medications could end up in the wrong hands? It's important to keep your medication secure in a locked location, such as a locking box or locking cabinet. When it's time to dispose of them, safely and properly dispose of old, expired, or unused meds by using an at-home disposal product or a medication disposal box in your community. Don't miss out on medication take-back events happening near you. Don't let anyone take what's yours. Lock your meds. Be aware. Don't share. Learn more at lockyourmeds.org/NC.
Joining us on the Heister Automotive Group Hotline, we're just over a week away from the Super Bowl. Anita Marks joining us from ESPN on sports wagering and fantasy sports. Anita, how are you?
I'm great. I'm fantastic. Okay, I take it back. There's no football this weekend.
No, you got flag football. You've got skills competitions. Is there any money moving on that, Anita?
Can we even wager on that? I haven't even looked into that yet. Maybe that's what I'll do as soon as we hang up.
Maybe that's the case. Who's got, like, which Manning brother do you have in the Pro Bowl games? That's where I would see where the money is.
I'm from New York. Well, I'm originally from Miami, but I've lived in New York. I worked for the Giants for 7 years. So it has to be Eli. Come on.
Anita, having grown up in South Florida as a Boca Raton kid, is there a distinction between South Florida people and New York people sometimes? No, not really.
Are you a shark?
No. I did not go to Spanish River. I'm a Boca High Bobcat. Thank you very much.
Okay. I had to check.
All right. No. Yeah. Where were you?
I was down at so I went to Sunset Senior High School. I grew up in Kendall.
Okay.
And then I went to University of South Florida, University of Sun and Fun for 4 years. We never took a class on Friday.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I don't blame you. I wouldn't take a class. I wouldn't take a class either. So I am curious. Gilio, my co-host, is more of the wagering guy than I am. But the Super Bowl is always fun because it's always about props and, you know, what's the over under on the national anthem and everything else. But I feel like the fun has been taken out of the national anthem, Joe. I feel like there's so much research that's done on the national anthem. They almost get it to a T these days, don't they?
So I have a great story. So, again, I live in New York, and so I love Broadway. I go to Broadway shows all the time. And so I went to go see Idina Menzel in a show. And this was about 2 months before she sang the national anthem at the Super Bowl. And it just so happened my sweet mate in college was her best friend in high school. So I got backstage because I had heard so much about her. She had heard a lot about me. So and I said, Idina, I said, I have to ask, over under. And she's like, she's like, you and my father. She's like, I promised my father the over. So take the over. And sure enough, she was over by like 9 seconds. So it's a thing. And that's why it's capped off. Like, right? Like you can't wager more than like $5,000. like there's only a certain amount of money you could wager on these, you know, like color of Gatorade or the over under, because, you know, it can be controlled.
First song by Rihanna or color of Rihanna's dress. Yeah, I'm totally with you.
So here's another one. Again, I worked for the Giants. I was part of their pre-show.
Anita, wait a second. I hope these stories are more than 7 years old, because I don't want to get you in trouble.
Oh, no.
As someone who's like quasi-affiliated with the NFL, I don't need you getting in trouble on our program here.
Oh, no. These are so over 7 years old.
Okay, good.
So I'm at the.
I mean, we got Bernie. You guys are talking about South Florida. We got Bernie Kosar getting fired over there. We got, you know, the dude down with the Falcons being geofenced out of the league. So I need you to be careful, Anita.
Oh no, I'm fine. I'm fine. So this is when the Giants were taking on the Patriots, and this is when, remember, their undefeated season, at least until the Super Bowl, of course.
Yes.
And so. We're there, and we have our pregame show, and so I want to say it was Madonna, if I remember correctly, and so she was they had rehearsals for the halftime show, so I knew what her first song was going to be, I knew what her second song was going to be, I knew, like, so again, like all these, like, you know, all these things, like, you know, the crew that puts the Gatorade on the sideline.
Right.
For these teams, they know what color the Gatorade is. You don't think they're telling their friends and family? So as fun as these are to wager on, you know, there is insider information on all that.
Anita Marks, ESPN, joining us here on the Heister Automotive Group Hotline. That's Joe Ovius. I'm Joe Giglio. No insider information, though, Anita, on either the line or the total in this one. Is there, of the traditional bets, is there one that you like the most?
So a few things. Number one, I'm all over the Eagles. Full disclosure, I picked the Eagles to win the Super Bowl prior to the season starting. So,
what number did you get?
25-1.
Very nice.
And then I want to say like 2 or 3 weeks in,
I doubled down.
I doubled down at 11-1.
Nice. Very nice. Good for you.
Yeah. So, but at the end of the day, guys, I really do believe the Eagles. They're the better team. For a number of reasons. We've heard it time and time again, right? It's one in the trenches. They've got the better offensive line. I mean, heck, they scored 4 rushing touchdowns against the NFL's best rushing defense last week. Just ridiculous. On the defensive side of the ball, not to take anything away from Chris Jones, but as a whole, the Eagles' front seven is arguably one of the best front sevens, I think, ever in the history of the NFL in regards to talent and depth. They're obviously coming in healthier, because now you've got Kansas City's 75% of their wide receiving core is injured. Not sure if they're going to be active. If they are going to be active, they're not going to be 100%. Willie Gay Jr., their linebacker, not sure if he's going to play. There's just a lot more injuries that Kansas City is dealing with. So I think the Eagles are in a really, really good situation. Also, their road to the Super Bowl, I mean, was it even a game against the Giants?
No.
And because of what happened with the 49ers, unfortunately, with Brock Purdy, like, you know, they just skated their way to the postseason, where Kansas City's really had, you know, that game against Cincinnati, that was a fight. That was a fight.
Yeah, they needed some extra help in that one from a couple of their friends.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, no, yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Zebras.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. So anyway, I just think the Eagles are the better team here. I'd lay it to 2.5. I know it's fluctuating. So, what I find interesting is when this line came out, Kansas City was favored, and all the wise guys, all the sharp money, they came running to the window, and then of course it flipped. So, and here's another thing, like in regard, I like the under here, because I do believe the Eagles defense is going to get after Patrick Mahomes. They have the number one pass defense in the NFL. And then on the opposite side, I just don't think Jalen Hurts is himself right now. And I think the Eagles are more committed to running the football. Hence we saw against the 49ers, yeah, as well as the Giants. And what happens when you run the football, you eat up time of possession. But I had a handicapper, a professional handicapper on with me yesterday on my gambling show. And he said, whenever the Kansas City Chiefs take on a top 10 defense in the NFL, the over always hits. I guess Andy Reid plays with more reckless abandonment, and takes more shots and is more aggressive. So I find that interesting. I'm still leaning on the under, but I don't have as much conviction after after my conversation.
When you got a guy who's got a guy, yeah, I mean,
I've got a
happens.
Guy who's got a guy who said he wins money hand over fist every time Kansas City plays a top 10 defense. So take that for what it's worth.
Anita Marks, ESPN, joining us here on the OG. All right, you mentioned sharp money, and that sounds like the Eagles. I'm with you on that. One of the popular fad bets right now is the who will score the first touchdown. Who do you like in this one? I'm guessing Miles Sanders is probably the favorite in this, but is there a Kenneth Gainwell? Is there a backup tight end that you like maybe that someone could make a couple of dollars on?
Yeah, so a few things. Number one, especially, like I said, with all the injuries that we're seeing with Kansas City, I think it's going to be the Travis Kelce show, in my opinion. So I definitely would lay some money on Travis Kelce, definitely anytime touchdown. And I think that's at like minus 130, right? Minus 125, minus 130 in some places. I would put some money down that he scores the first touchdown. As for the Eagles, it's really interesting. What we've seen them do in the backfield is they have spread the wealth, right? So it's Miles Sanders, as you said, it's Gainwell, it's Boston Scott. But what has happened is we haven't seen Gainwell and Boston Scott come in until the game is pretty much done, right? So I would go Sanders. I'd go Sanders, first-time touchdown. I would also throw in Jalen Hurts. In the postseason, he has rushed with the football 6 times within the red zone in 2 games. So I would also – so the 3 that I would put money down on for to score first would be Kelce, Miles Sanders, and Jalen Hurts. But I would also – like any time touchdown, yeah, I would sprinkle in some Gainwell. I would definitely put in some A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown has been held out of the end zone for 3 games. So, I believe that he's due. And Kansas City's secondary is – really young, inexperienced, and not very good. They have the 31st red zone defense in the NFL, second to worst. So chances are, Eagles make their way to the red zone. They're going to score. I would because how committed they have been to running the football. I would imagine it's through the rushing attack. But again, I think AJ Brown is due for a touchdown since he was a TD vulture. Like he was just. Every game he was scoring a touchdown in the regular season. I think he's due. I think he'll score the Super Bowl.
Anita Marks, ESPN, ESPN Radio. We appreciate the time, Anita. Hopefully, maybe you can find some action on the Pro Bowl games this weekend. Enjoy.
you'll be watching. I don't think I will, but enjoy it.
No. I will not be watching. We're in ACC basketball mode this weekend before the Super Bowl happens, so.
There you go. All right, you give me a pick then. You give me a play.
All right, give me Duke over Carolina on Saturday. That's where I'm going.
All right, you got it.
All right, Anita. Bye.
Are you ready for the big game? At The Designery, we can help you arrange your kitchen in the perfect way to feed everyone coming over for the big game. I'm Dana Merrill, the owner of The Designery in North Raleigh.
And I am Drew Merrill. I am the project manager.
The Designery is a lovely kitchen, bath, and closet remodeling company. We do pretty much any of the utility spaces in your house. If you want to store things in your cabinets, if you want to work on things on your countertops, if you want to have a floor that can get wet or muddy, we're the place to help you fix your home up.
We are The Designery North Raleigh, located at 3030 Wake Forest Road in the Holly Park Plaza. We would love to see you, or visit our website at thedesignery.com.